An audio excerpt from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean. Read by the author. Chapter 18. Uninvited Guests. Midge focused on her mission. Set the Jolly Roger on fire, get the heck off of it, and swim back to the rendezvous point. Peering over the ship's rail, she looked around carefully. Probably at least one pirate was still on the ship, keeping a lookout. At least with her black hair and her usual all-black clothes, Midge was set for night camouflage. She'd reapplied mud to her skin before she and Zonk had set off. All quiet on board, so far. Midge swung one leg over the ship's rail, then the other, dropping on deck with her bare feet. Oh, crap, Midge thought. I forgot my feet. The water had washed them clean, and now they seemed to glow in the twilight. She tiptoed quickly toward the aft deck hatch. Just as she began to climb down the ladder, she heard a whistle and froze. It came from above. Looking up through the masts, stowed sails and rigging, she could just see the lookout. It took about 6 notes for Midge to realize he was whistling Ring Around the Rosie. Not whistling at her. Still, she had no idea if the tune might be a code to warn fellow pirates against an intruder. If she could see him, that meant he could see her as well. Stomach in her throat, she moved faster down the ladder. She needed to find the captain's quarters. That couldn't be too hard. Arriving below deck, she turned, propelling herself forward. The captain's cabin wouldn't likely be here at the back of the boat. A creaking noise stopped her in her tracks, and something brushed her face. A scream rose from her chest. Clapping a hand over her mouth to stop the sound, she inhaled deeply through her nose, trying to calm her pounding heart. It was horribly dark down here. What she wouldn't give for a flashlight about now. Eyes adjusting to the dimness, she saw that her attacker was a hammock. She nearly giggled with relief. Hammock after hammock hung only about a foot and a half apart across the entire ship's width. Ropes creaked lightly against supporting wooden beams as the ship rocked on light waves. Now that she knew what the sound was, Midge reeled in her fleeing courage. She hoped all the hammocks were empty. She wasn't about to check, that was for sure. She reached with difficulty into her pants pocket, extracting one of the pebbles she carried as slingshot ammunition. Light glowed faintly through a narrow doorway ahead, down a very dark hallway. She tiptoed toward the light, hands stretched in front of her. It seemed to take forever, but the glow brightened as she went. It became a shaft of lantern light striping the flooring, pouring from a door hanging slightly ajar. Midge stood, flattened against the adjacent wall. She leaned very slowly to the side until one eye peeked inside. Having given the order to light Pan's death scene, Captain Littlejack waited impatiently. The one-eyed pirate took forever tying his shirt in a wad at the end of a branch and dousing it in kerosene. The man had finally finished when they heard the noise. It was a high noise, long and drawn out. It chilled the captain's bones and made every man near him shudder. It seemed to come from the woods behind the beach. "What's that?" barked the captain. He forced his voice to be loud and strong when it wanted to wheeze in fright. "Flee! What was that noise?"
"I don't know, Cap'n,"
his first mate replied.
"Well, find out, flee!"
The roar came easily this time. Sometimes he wanted to shake that blasted little man until the few teeth he had left in his wild-haired head fell out.
"Aye, aye, Cap'n!"
Flea stumbled over the foot of a pirate lounging next to him and nearly fell, face first, into the fire. Only the speed of the one-legged deckhand saved the first mate. The fellow grabbed his belt and hauled him back to his feet.
"Aye, aye, sir!"
Flea squeaked in terror and rushed into the darkness, only to slow as he reached the edge of the dead forest. It was so dark now, and the fire so bright, the captain could barely make out the outlines of the tree trunks. The sound came again, louder this time. It keened like a mother who lost her child. Flea scuttled back to the captain's side, trembling.
"It seems to come from the woods, Cap'n." "I can hear that, you fool. Send a scurvy sailor to find the cause, or you'll go yourself."
Knobby knees quaking, Flea spun around three times, one hand over his eyes, the other outstretched. When he came to a stop, his arm pointed to the one-legged fellow who'd saved him.
"Sorry, mate," the flea mumbled.
The chosen man clumped toward the woods, sword drawn, and disappeared into the darkness. Moments later, screams of shock and terror lanced the night. They went on rather a long time, those screams of agony, before silence fell. Captain Littlejack waited, squinting into the darkness, willing the sailor to reappear. Seconds stretched into minutes, seeming like an eternity. Then, horror of horrors, the wail sounded again. High and elongated, it brought visions of a wounded woman to mind.
"What ghost is this?"
the captain whispers, for his ears alone.
"Which of me victims would choose this moment to haunt me?"
Claw reaching to his belt, he clasped the butt of his gun, raised it to shoulder level, and positioned his hook to pull the trigger. Pirates around him, seeing what was coming, flattened themselves on the sand. He fired. Blessed silence followed. The ghost cried again. This time it seemed as though there were two, wailing in harmony. The ghostly wails sent shivers down Piper's spine. She had a horrible feeling she'd heard those voices before. A vivid image bloomed in her mind, which she tried in vain to banish, of the lifers caught out there in the captain's deadly web. Just a foot away from Piper's face, the floating log threatened to crush her head, stopped its forward motion. Piper stared at the water around her. Had the tide already turned? Maybe the pirate had miscalculated and high tide wouldn't be high enough to drown her. She felt a wave of hysteria rise and giggled. It would serve the conniving toad right. But the water was lapping the underside of her chin now. It didn't need to rise much farther. Still, the log held its place, a foot away. Then it moved sideways, 2 feet to the right, and came toward her again, this time alongside, floating under the pier. Piper's brows shot up. This was no ordinary log. She sensed something, or someone, behind her. She tensed, ready for anything. Who knew what antics the pirates were up to now? "Quiet, Piper. It's me, Zonk." A voice, low and sweet, spoke in her ear. "Hold still. I'm going to cut the ropes." Shock sent Piper's heart skittering. Zonk was here. That meant the rest of the girls were nearby, because Zonk wouldn't have come alone. She was torn between relief and terror. Facing death on her own had been bad, but the possibility that the others might face it as well was much worse. If she lived, Piper thought, if they all lived, she would forget this crazy idea of revenge. Never mind trying to defeat Captain Littlejack. It was far more important to get them all to safety. They needed to get the heck out of the Neverland. Surely her parents would forgive her for that.
"You!"
The captain pointed his claw at the man to his right. Most all of the men stood to his right now, come to think of it. The cowardly lot had moved, putting the bonfire between them and the woods.
"Go find that bird," "Kill it and bring it to me," he ordered. The blackguard shook his head like a wet dog. "No, Cap'n. No, sir. I'll do anything for you but that." "Cast off, you cowardly scum, or I'll tear you from stem to stern with this." His hook glinted in the firelight. Defeated, the sailor reloaded his pistol and plodded toward the forest, a man marching to his doom. The poor sod screamed once, no more. "Blast it all! No ghost is going to get the best of me," the captain seethed. "You!" He randomly chose another crewman. "Whatever your name is, go kill it!"
"You can't kill ghosts, Cap'n,"
the swarthy man squeaked like a girl. "You can catch 'em," bellowed Little Jack. The fellow ran toward the water, but the captain was faster. Reaching out his hook, he snagged the man's ear.
"Aye!"
The man's scream made some worthless scum piss his pants. The captain could smell it. "I said, go catch it," he growled, "and that's what you'll do." He tore out his hook, smiling at the sound of ripping cartilage. Clutching his bleeding ear with one hand and his dagger with the other, the man cried all the way to the woods. A moment later, his weeping rose to a shriek, becoming at last a "No!" that trailed into nothing.
"Confound it! Fire! Everyone, fire!"
Dropping his pistol, Little Jack clapped steel and flesh forearms to his ears. The sound of 20 pistols firing nearly deafened him all the same. Bingo, Midge thought. This had to be the captain's quarters, judging from the spaciousness and the rich furnishings. She listened carefully. Hearing nothing, she pushed the door farther open, inch by inch, in tandem with the ship's rolling motion. The hinges squeaked. She winced. Nothing for it, she had to get in. When the opening was wide enough, she slipped inside, slingshot loaded and at the ready. The light came from a lantern, hung from a hook, attached to the wall. Was the hook one of the captain's? The hair on the back of her neck stood up, and she reached for the lantern to dispel the shudder rippling down her spine. Lantern in hand, she inspected the cabin. She was looking for anything useful that might be used as ransom, if necessary, to free Pan. There might be valuables, or even better, incriminating information. Blackmail would be a more powerful tool against this pirate captain than paying him with his own treasure. The first thing that caught her eye was a table sparkling with china, crystal, and silver. Food still stood on several of the serving platters. Her stomach growled. She hadn't eaten solid food since she'd arrived. She wasn't hungry, but the succulent smells made her mouth water. She nabbed a piece of ham, and while chewing, raised the lantern to see what other treats she could help herself to. The boom of many guns going off at once nearly gave her a heart attack. She swung around, feeling the blood drain from her head.